Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis, and we have a really good session planned for today. Very excited, as always. But first, a little housekeeping. I do want to apologize. When we originally released last week's episode, it had the intro music, and it had the closing music. And then there was about a half an hour of just silence. And although we could have used that as an intentional, like, you know, meditating on it, do your own thinking, that was not intentional. So that is up now. You should be able to go back and listen to it with all of the words and our lovely conversation. It was a great conversation. But this week, Dan, jumping into what we've got this week and really what we're talking about this whole next season, because we just finished this series on prayer. And we're about to move into Lent. So before we talk about Lent stuff, just give us a brief reminder of what we finished up this season with.
Yeah. Good to be with you again, Austin, with everyone out there listening. Yes, we've been talking about prayer, which is a good lead into Lent, too. I'm sure prayer will come up during our series in the future here in the next several weeks as well. But we are bringing to close a specific focus on prayer. And really, this week as well as last, trying to get practical, this part of Keller's book he had titled Doing Prayer. And so just say, how do we actually put this into play was kind of the term I used on Sunday in our lives. We talked about it. We've learned about it, the theology of prayer, but we got to actually do this, right? It's not enough to just talk about it. And so we use kind of that, some of the forms of prayer, types of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, to as kind of an outline to kind of pour into, well, how can we be praying in those ways? And thought, of course, about what those forms are, why they're important. And we connected that with Philippians 4:4-7 and some of the character that Paul writes about there and how these things feed into that character, right? How am I going to be rejoicing in the Lord? Well, I need to be praising him for who he is. That's going to connect together naturally. If I'm going to be gentle in my relationships, well, this humility that comes from confession can go a long way. And then that piece about knowing God's peace. And as we pray to him, we're participating in that, but also being receivers of that peace because we know who God is and he's in control and he's listening to us bring these requests. So anyways, I hope that these last few weeks and then the resources that went out to from Austin, what really Sherry had put together last month in regards to some prayer resources and ways to get involved, as well as other things, obviously the book we've been using from Pastor Tim Keller, can give us a few ideas of how we can be growing in this, in our life of prayer. So I'll say personally, for me, this is not as natural an expression, that is prayer, as like reading scripture is. Mm-hmm. You know, for my devotion time, you know, and that regular practice of reading scripture or listening to scripture, that comes pretty naturally to me and has for years. But I can ebb and flow in my prayer life. And so for me, too, this was a good reminder of not only ways I can be doing this, but the importance of this as well. So I'm hoping that I can, and I've been working on some ways personally that I can incorporate some of what we talked about.
Yeah, it was so good. And it was a very practical sermon. And we talked a lot about a lot of the practical elements. Actually, there was a lot of overlap last week with what I was thinking of talking about this week. So if you haven't heard last week's episode, you can go back and listen to that because that was what I thought about doing for today. Mm-hmm. We will be moving forward to our Lent stuff. Oh, but before we do that, I almost missed something. Mm-hmm. Dan, if you had to pick three main highlights for us to walk away from this prayer series with, what would those be?
Yeah, it's a good question to narrow it down. It's always a good exercise. I think first, going back to what we talked about at the very beginning, to know and believe that we're made for this. God wants us to do this, and this is who we are. He is our God, and Jesus Christ, we are his adopted children. So prayer is fundamental. It's not just an optional thing for us. It's really what we're made to be. As we ended kind of the sermon with a quote from Keller's first chapter that talked about that, you know, it's just everything, you know, it's how we treat God as God. It's everything we need to be and be doing, and we just need to do that. So I think that fundamental piece, first and foremost, that, this is who we are. We need to be doing this as Christians. It's not just some people do that for us in the church or something like that. Secondly, I would say, I try to sum up which one of these is most important, but that piece of understanding this is a God-centered activity rather than a self-centered one. Mm-hmm. Because I think that temptation is always there, not just for me, but probably for a lot of us, to make it about me and my wish list. But first and foremost, we're here to talk with God, to focus on God, to be shaped by God. And so as we come in our prayer life to try as best we can and to work at keeping this at the center, keeping God at the center, maybe the Lord's Prayer could be helpful with that. So that's the second piece. And then maybe third, as we think about the application part, as we were trying to really lean into that the last couple of weeks, there's a lot of good applications there. And so maybe to sum up is to say, there's not one thing that has to be the way for everybody. Just like we talked, you used the analogy of like working out or exercise. You know, Austin and I are different ages, have different body types, different stages of health and all that. So we're not going to use the exact same workout routine, but we can both be quite healthy using what it is we use. And so I think I would encourage you, don't get stuck looking at a particular person or writing and saying, well, I can't do that. Or, well, that's probably, there can be a very healthy exercise for you that looks a little different in prayer. And so just find what that is for you, and God will bless that and grow you in it. So maybe it takes some trial and error. It often does with physical exercise too. There's certain things like I can't do anymore physically that I might have done 20 years ago. If I might do them, but then the next day I'm going to be really paying for it. Or, you know, so just, yeah, where are you at in your life, in your own faith journey? You know, maybe you're at a point you need to just add some more things in, or maybe you're just starting out. But I think that's just to seek a routine and practice that's going to work well for you. So, yeah, to sum up, kind of one from each, maybe part of what we talked about over these last few weeks, some things to, I hope you really can take home. So,
yeah, that's so good. Thank you, Dan. And again, I do want to thank you on behalf of all of us for this series, because this is something that we do need to be revisiting. As Christians, we're so easy for us to be like, oh, yeah, and prayer. And so I really appreciated this time to dive back in on it. Looking forward towards Lent, if you guys were here last year when we started our Lent series, you'll know that Lent is a relatively new concept for me. I really only started paying attention to the season of Lent in college, just because that was just not something that was as intentionally practiced in my part of Uganda. But it's something that I've really started to fall in love with. And one thing that is really talked about hand in hand with Lent is fasting. Whether that is literal fasting or metaphorical fast. I mean, we even have like fake holidays here. So like we're recording this on Tuesday, which is often called Fat Tuesday, which is when we just go and like take on gluttony because
eat a lot of food.
Like eat a lot of food. And like, don't get me wrong, I love a punch key as much as the next person. But like, there's so much in our culture writ large right now, even about Lent and about that fasting element. And that's something that I feel like we don't always talk a lot about. It's just, you know, you'll hear, oh, are you, you know, I'm giving up this for Lent. Are you giving up anything for Lent? You know, And I just want to kind of dive in on fasting specifically in the context of Lent for today's episode. So, Dan, in the context of Lent, what is fasting? Why do we do it? And how do we do it well?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I agree, Austin, that in our tradition, the kind of more Reformed Protestant tradition, it is not something that I really heard much talked about growing up either. I have a Catholic side of my family. We've heard about it plenty there, right? But I was visiting, and in the last 2 years, I visited my kid's school, and they were doing lessons, kind of a unit on fasting in connection with idolatry and other things. And I was able to go in and kind of do some talking with them about that. We never would have done that, you know, however many years ago, I'll let you guess, when I was at that grade level.
About dinosaurs black and white TV.
A while back, right? You know? So it has grown, right? And like you said, even more in the larger culture. So the connection, really, the whole idea, whether it's food, which of course is kind of the traditional way, or anything else, the idea is to kind of take something, I don't want to say take it out of our lives, but refrain from that thing in our lives so that we can focus more on a relationship with the Lord and fill that space with the Lord. And some of the ways I even talked with the kids in that fourth grade class we have that time with, you know, the reminders there, this isn't for show, it's for you and God to know, right? And I know that's something that We talked about even before coming on that there could be accountability. Like Austin and I might say, hey, we're both going to refrain from X. We're going to fast from maybe it's, you know, some sort of sweets, or maybe it's an activity. We're going to fast from social media. You know, let's do that together so we can hold each other accountable. That's one thing, but it's another to kind of like be telling everyone. Well,
it's like, hi, I'm going to fast from social media and I'm going to post about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that would be good, obviously.
I only say that because I did that my very first time practicing Lent. So putting myself on blast there.
Lesson learned, yeah. Or just to be broadcasting, kind of telling everyone, well, I'm fasting. Because Jesus gives the example, like someone walks around and in the food example, and it's very clear to everybody what you're doing. Because of the way you're dressing, or you know, instead he says, "No, don't broadcast that. This is really between you and God." So that's important to remember. Another thing we talk about is like, this is not just an emptying of the cup; it's meant to fill us up. So I think you think of fasting, I'm not going to eat. Okay, well, why? The whole idea is not this kind of more you might say Eastern religion, just kind of emptying of the mind or emptying of the stomach,
or even punitive.
Right. It's to spend time with God, to be communing with him, like we talked about prayer, to be listening so that we're enriching that relationship. That's the whole point. Not so I lose a few pounds, right? But no, that I'm growing in my relationship with the Lord. So there's that piece, too, of you know, making sure this isn't just like, oh, I'm not eating and I'm sitting here. No, you fill that time with prayer, scripture reading, maybe service, whatever, you know, some engaging with the Lord instead of. That's why the food one works. Because typically we're eating a few times a day. And so even if you're taking one meal out, you have a specific time every day that, okay, I normally would be doing this, but now time with the Lord in this or that way. So that's a couple of things we talk about with them. And we connected with idolatry too, how it can be helpful for us to keep some of those idols at bay. It's because that, if you're thinking about what you could be fasting from, ask yourself, what has the potential, or what maybe has been an idol in my life? Because that is, it's not, you know, maybe I'm like, oh, I'm going to, you know, fast from sweets. But I don't really.
I never have sweets.
I don't really eat them that much.
It's like, I'm fasting from shopping sprees.
Right.
I'm like, if you know anything about me, you know that that is not something that I suffer from.
Not a temptation.
Right.
But yeah, you're sitting here, I'm like, normally you spend 2.5 hours a day on social media, and you're going to say, okay, that's going to be work. Right, it is going to be a fasting. You might have withdrawal. You know, I mean, just like eating, like not having that meal time or whatever that looks like, it's going to have an impact. And your stomach's going to be yelling at you to do something. And I've committed to this. I'm going to spend the time with the Lord. Sometimes food can be an idol. So, yeah, lots of good, positive things that are trying to be brought about from this, right?
Yeah, And oh, man, I love that. You answered like three of my questions.
Sorry.
No, that's great. I love it. That's perfect. I guess one question is, so we talked about how that was the, you know, it's not just the emptying out,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
it's the pouring in. Do you have any suggestions of specific scriptures or elements mm-hmm. of our faith, or, you know, if we're fasting from, say, social media, is there something we need to be focusing on differently than if it's, say, food or something?
Yeah,
how do we do this well?
It's great to, I guess, pair things up if you can, right? So something you could reflect on, right? So if social media is a big thing for us, and I think a very worthy thing to say, I'm going to take a break from for a lot of us, right? That might be a very good thing to do. So if that's the case, think about the title then, this social media. And that word media, of course, is related to mediator. And Scripture has a lot to say about that. Who's our mediator? And that could be something you're reading passages or something you just think about in that time. Jesus Christ is my go-between, right? Media, social media is supposed to connect us, right, with all this and that, the information and friends and all. But Scripture talks about the true mediator for us is Jesus, who connects us with God, and we have access to his throne. And so that could be a corresponding thought to go with, hey, I'm fasting from this media, so I'm more aware of my mediator, you know, Jesus Christ. But yeah, you can talk about, you know, with food, right? There's passages that go along about, you know, the stomach's not our God, right? And, you know, we live in a culture where we get food whenever we want, typically, in vast quantities. And
I was literally talking with Dan before we came on this segment about how much I love living in the city I'm living in now because there's so much more food options.
Yeah. So that for us, like we, you know, to even pull that back a little bit, it can be very forming for us, and to be reminded of some of those passages we can be reading with about, you know, Are we just following our desires or our stomach or that kind of thing? So obviously, yeah, scripture and prayer are things you can fill in that space. It's okay, I think, too. This is, you know, maybe it's more time with certain family members, maybe a spouse or kids, right? And that's God's given you that calling in your life. And these things often take us away from some of that at times, right? Where I'm, especially like a social media thing, you can be spending time scrolling on the phone and you're not spending good time with a spouse or kids, right? So that could be a good activity to fill in, and seeing your call and responsibility in those different roles, perhaps. And obviously there's service things. Maybe you're looking like, oh, where can I fit service into my schedule? A lot of us have full schedules. Well, suddenly you're freeing up something, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's good to go to something like food or something you spend some time on that you know, yeah, maybe I don't need to spend all that time on. Then maybe service could be a piece you can bring in. I'm going to take that time and either seek to be serving somebody in some ways or go to a specific ministry. Or maybe there's a church thing you want to, you know, that's another way. That could be another outlet from this. Because most of the things I'm fasting from are self-serving, right? I'm feeding myself. I'm spending my downtime doing this or that or whatever, and versus, you know, thinking of the needs of others. So just a couple ideas. There could be much, much more there.
Yeah.
But again, the idea behind it is we're growing in who God has created us to be and growing in our relationship with Him. There's thankfully lots of ways to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we are newer to this fasting practice, kind of like what we talked about with prayer, kind of like in our gym examples, you know, I'm not going to go to the gym for the first time ever and run a marathon and bench 400 pounds and, you know, all this crazy stuff.
Right.
Like, right. So when we're new to things, we need to make sure that we do things at a sustainable level.
Yes.
So that we can actually build and form this habit. Mm-hmm. So how would you recommend someone who has never tried fasting like this, or at least for this amount of time before, what would you recommend?
Yeah. Yeah. You've already kind of said it. It's not usually a good idea to dive in the deep end here, right?
And so don't start 40 days no food,
like,
at all?
Yeah, and actually, there's resources that I've looked at, and I'm not one who's done, some friends and people I know do a lot more food fasting than I have done. I've done a little here and there, but there's, like, whole books written about, you know, how you can approach this, how you break that at the end. And so if you're interested, you could see myself, or we could connect you with some resources, perhaps. But in general, right, you know, start with realistic goals, right? You know, I mean,
even like, would you say an hour less social media, or like no social media after dinner?
Yes.
Or something like
yes.
that?
Okay. It's just like the fasting, right? I mean, you can look and say, like, maybe it is a small food thing I'm going to cut out, or maybe it's one meal. Like, I'm just going to try to go without, you know, lunch or something, whatever one you want to do. But not like the whole day, you know,
right.
or just
you
like
you do still need to sustain yourself.
Yes, right. And like I think with social media, you know yourself, or you know, if it's some other activity, like yeah, maybe okay, like I'm not going to do this, you know, when I get home and I have this time with my family, I'm going to put the phone away. Again, I think that's a good way to go into it. The principle too behind that is to remember, and we say this one with the kids too, is to remember that this fasting is not so that we can buy God's love, right? We're not earning His love. It's so that
yes.
we can look like our Father above. So it's not like, well, unless I fast this much, He's not going to love me. No. No, right? This is not that. This is reflecting Him and wanting to be like Him.
And I immediately go back to the widow's mite,
mm-hmm.
You know, where the widow is giving all that she has, which is like a penny, our equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's all she can give. And there's the rich person throwing in $10,000 into the offering pot. That woman has given more of her little.
Right.
And I think that same philosophy can transfer over into our fasting.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, the heart's desire. That's, I mean, really, so our Christian life is the desiring in the Lord's direction, right? So if you say like, okay, I'm just going to take, you know, make sure I stop for 10 minutes even, the scrolling I'm doing, or I'm just going to cut out like certain things I know are unhealthy in my eating habits. That's okay. And you're doing that not just so you're healthier physically, but also you want to give that to the Lord. And you want to say like, when I be eating those things, typically it's after a meal perhaps, like I'm going to read the Today devotional, or I'm going to read these passages of scripture. Like, that's great. Don't be dismayed like if someone else is like, you know, I've able to do this or that. I mean, the comparison game is not helpful for us in that. Just step in at a level that you can follow through with, because I don't want, you know, it's so easy to be discouraged and be like, well, I tried and it didn't work. But then I was also trying to do this from zero to 100.
Right. It's like, again, you go back to the gym metaphor. If you go up and you rack up, you know, I don't actually know if anyone can bench 400. Maybe Eric.
Oh,
can.
Yeah, sure.
But like, you're not going to go fill up that barbell and lift it the first time if you've never lifted. Like, you've got to go to the very beginning. And why yeah. would we expect it's different
yes.
for anything spiritual?
And not only would I won't be able to do it, I'll probably get hurt.
Yeah.
So I think that's a piece too. Like, we got to be realistic with ourselves. And we don't want to be injuring our relationship with the Lord, our faith, by saying like, well, this is not worth it. I wasn't able to do it. And then, or maybe I should be able to, and you start doubting things, right? Just step in with the Lord, step by step, right? We sing that song from time to time. Like, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's going to be some steps back from time, but trying to walk with the Lord in this. So just an encouragement as you're maybe thinking about this season. And if you're listening to this, it'll probably be after, you know, Lent officially starts
it'll
tomorrow.
It'll release at noon exactly yeah. on Wednesday is when we're planning.
So what I wanted to say is, like, if you listen to this later or all of a sudden it's like, oh, but it's already March 10th. That's fine. You can start something. I mean,
yes.
this is an arbitrary season, really. I mean, it's a good, but it's like, doesn't matter when you start, how long you're going
to
do
and
it.
And even if you're only able to do it for a day, 2 days, great. Mm-hmm. That is a day or 2 days more than you would have done otherwise.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. See where God takes it. Right.
Exactly.
I think that's like, so I don't want you to be discouraged because I'm no perfectionist on this stuff either. You know, some years I have really high hopes and then they don't always come to fruition. And other years, I just kind of fall into something and it works well. So I think it's just good for us to be thinking about these things. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Going forward, as far as our sermon series goes, mm-hmm. so obviously we will be in a Lent season. Mm-hmm. What are we going to be focusing on during this Lent season during our Sunday services?
Yeah, so a lot of what we just talked about, because traditionally Lent has been a time for God's people to really, and intentionally more so, you know, we should be all the time, but seeking the Lord and this relationship with Him and thinking about how we can be doing that. So we are going to use kind of a garden theme to get into that. I mean, one of our words in our mission statement is cultivate, to be cultivating or growing the love of God with people everywhere. So very fitting for us, and we have a lot of people who love working the soil and doing that here. And so it kind of will start out this coming week, seeing how, of course, when God made us, He put us in a garden with Him. And it was fruitful. Our relationship with Him, with each other, with creation, everything's fruitful there. And, of course, that gets marred by sin and broken in sin. And there's this kind of this desolateness or barrenness to that land, so to speak, in our relationship. But God doesn't give up, and He wants us to come back to that fruitful state, back to that garden state. And so we'll think about those opening Genesis passages, but also then Jesus, of course. This is how God's going to bring us back. And Jesus, wouldn't you know it, has these words that He teaches about, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, right? He's the one to bring us back to that. And then the weeks ahead, we're going to take that garden theme, then, okay, how do we start tending this garden in our lives, this relationship with the Lord? And if you'll be tying in with our children's messages too, and these thoughts about, you know, thinking about, all right, what do I need to do here? Some intentionality. Maybe I need to tear some things out of the way in my life, right? This is the fasting part, perhaps. What do I need to build up, right? And there's a passage in 2 Chronicles that talks about this renewal project of God's people, and the king at that time will be connecting with that, these different stages they go through, and some other passages that deepen that. So just, yeah, tending to that relationship, cultivating it with the Lord as we come up to then Good Friday, Palm Sunday, which has a very gardeny kind of feel with the palms. Good Friday, Jesus is buried then in a garden. He's praying that night before in a garden. And then, you know, even on Easter Sunday, we see Jesus and Mary Magdalene's there and thinks he's
the gardener.
A gardener. So it's just interesting how that ties together. So we're looking forward to that theme, but the whole point is, how do we keep cultivating who we are in Christ, this relationship with the Lord, and to be fruitful followers of Him. So
awesome. Well, and there's so much to look forward to with that. So thank you, Dan, for preparing this. Very excited for this new season. Thank you to all of you who listen. As always, we wouldn't be here without you. So may you all be blessed. May you go with grace, and we will see you next time.